Point two, every meeting with Jesus is different. Martha questioned, adding something that Mary did. Martha added, "But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." And this kind of cracks me up because Jesus was God in the flesh. So, as a pastor, a lot of times I'll have people and they'll say, "Pray for me." And I'm always glad to pray for whoever wants it. But many people then follow that up with, "Because you've got more clout than me." And I don't tell you, I don't have any more clout than anybody. I go with my head down in the name of Jesus, just like everybody else. My prayers don't hit heaven any harder. Because you cannot hit heaven any harder than Jesus hit. So here is Mary, or excuse me, here's Martha saying, "I know now that God will give you whatever you ask." And Jesus said, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he's going to rise again on the resurrection in the last day." Somehow in that moment, in that time, I feel like, you know, theologically we get it. We understand that when there's a death, there's going to be a resurrection from the dead and we're going to be reunited. And there is comfort in that. But there's some comfort that's not there too. Because right now, today, in the problem, in the catastrophe, there is a void. And it's not getting filled. There's a loved one that is gone. I remember several years ago, a young mother in a church that I pastored was killed in an automobile accident. And she had two children. One was a seventh grader and the other was fourth or fifth grade. And they would say to her, or they would say to the kid, they would say, "Well, God just wanted your mommy in heaven with him because she was so wonderful." Finally, the little girl came to me and said, "Why is God so mean?" I said, "What do you mean?" "That he took my mom to be with him when I'm a little kid and really needed her." Good point. At that time I told her, "God didn't take your mom, he received your mom. Because there's some things that happen to your mom's body where her spirit can no longer stay inside it." I think this is where Martha is at this day in this place. "I know he's going to rise again, but if you'd been here, he'd still be here." And Jesus said to her, "I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." And then the craziest of all the things that Jesus says in this whole discourse, he says to Martha, "Do you believe this?" Now Martha is certainly a believer. She's been with Jesus from the beginning, and it just seems so out of place. It's like, you know, you've been pastoring for 15 years and somebody comes up and says, "Do you believe?" "Yeah, well, of course I believe." But yet here's Jesus asking, "Do you believe?" And she says, "Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who's coming into this world." Martha is saying, "Yes, Lord, my doctrine is sound. My doctrine is accurate. I understand all the things that the Scripture teaches. I understand who you are." Now contrast this with Sister Mary and her encounter with Jesus. Because when Mary came and said, she came and said, and it says, "Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet." So she's not in his face having a theological exchange. She is at his feet on the ground, I guess, sobbing, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. In verse 35, Jesus himself wept. Martha had all the theology down. She understood everything that had been taught to her in Sunday school class. She paid attention to the preacher all the year. She wrote down all the notes. She had answers for all the questions, but Mary just cried. When we look at the encounter that Jesus had with Martha and Mary in Luke chapter 10, we learn a little something more about the differences in these two sisters. You see, in Luke chapter 10, they're having a big family dinner. And Mary is sitting and listening to the Lord's teachings. And Martha is taking care of all the work. And Martha goes to Jesus and says, "Lord, make my sister get up and help me." Or something like that. And the Lord answered her and said, "Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her." I have found that in ministry, one of the hardest things to do is to accept the Marys. Because I've got to tell you about the Marys. They don't care if dinner is on the table at 6 or 8. They don't care if church is over at 12 or 1 or 2. They don't care if the napkins are folded or even on the table. They had thought once last week that they better get some juice because they were going to have this big party. But since then, they've forgotten all about it, and now the Marys are serving water. Martha, on the other hand, is not serving water. She has a plan. She has been working. She's had a checklist. She's been checking everything off. She knows who's going to sit in what seat. She knows what dish every person is going to eat from. And if the turkey is too dry again this year, she's going to burst into tears and rush out of the room. Because to Martha, it's all about making everything perfect. And Jesus responded to Martha, not Mary. "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary." Back in John chapter 11, Martha is still being Martha. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you'd been here, if you hadn't waited for 2 days before you came, if you had a little bit of organization in your life, Lord, see," Martha had it all figured out. She had all the answers. She was spot on theologically. She was sound. She knew the end from the beginning. Mary, on the other hand, she wept. She shared her pain. Martha's statement, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died," seemed to demand an answer. Mary's statement, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died," was rhetorical. It just brought tears. Now, the most moving and compelling thing about these exchanges is the actions and the results that follow. Martha moved Jesus to explain the challenges of life. With Martha, Jesus taught about the resurrection. He explained that he was the resurrection. But Mary moved Jesus to weep and to take action. With Martha, Jesus was moved to ask, "Do you believe?" With Mary, he didn't ask anything. He just took action. Martha was a believer. She was a believer because she understood things. She had seen the signs and the wonders and the miracles. And Martha was still answering the question, whether she believed or not. Maybe you're like that. You believe. You're like that guy in John, "Father, I believe, help my unbelief." And many of us are like that. And I think that's where Martha was stuck. "I believe, but I need to see one more miracle. I believe, but if you'd been here and done things differently, then I'd believe more." Mary just believed. She believed when her brother was alive. She believed when her brother was dead. She didn't believe because of the things she'd seen. She believed because she met God and she knew it. It was Mary who listened to Jesus' teaching instead of helping in the kitchen. It was Mary who wasn't distracted from the important things. This last week, while we were away, we had an opportunity. It was Sunday night. Colleen and I went to Cracker Barrel. That's a place where Christians go after church, if you have a Cracker Barrel. Well, we were in Idaho, and they have Cracker Barrels. So we went to Cracker Barrel. While I'm sitting there, since I eat like a racehorse and Colleen eats like a human being, she was done, and they had one of those little games there with the golf tees that you move around, you know, in the little holes. And I'm sitting there trying to do it while she's eating, and, you know, not wanting to rush her. We're chatting back and forth. Suddenly, a stranger walks up to me and says, "Do you want to know how to do that?" I'm like, "Sure." And so the guy sits down and shows me how to do it. Whips it out. I have my cross on. He commented, "I like your cross." I said, "Thank you." He said, "I'm the pastor of such and such a church." We engaged in a conversation. He sits down in the chair next to me. We start talking away about a conference that he'd been to and all the things that he learned. And he was so excited. And in a moment, he turns to the two ladies that are across the room at his table and says, "Sorry, we're over here talking about church." And then I, in a moment, say, "And in a minute, we're going to be talking about Jesus." And you know, the odd thing about that discussion was I kept trying to move our conversation to Jesus, and he kept moving it back to church. I kept moving it to the man, he kept moving it back to the organization. And I'm thinking about Martha and Mary. Martha was so practical. She wanted to make sure all the T's were crossed and all the I's were dotted. And Mary just wanted be close to Jesus. Okay, kids, you gotta be quiet. Verse 40, Jesus said to her, "Did I tell you that verse 40, Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" So he took the stone away, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." That they may believe. That they may believe. They may believe. When he said this, when he said these things, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." You know what they saw? They saw a miracle. They saw a man dead for 4 days. They saw a man who'd already been buried. They saw a man come back to life. Why? Because things didn't end in the theology of Martha. They went on in the faith of Mary, who just believed. What is it that you want to see in your life? Having a good theology is important. I know that. I went to college, spent a bucket of money to get a good theology underneath me. But you cannot live your spiritual life with your theology. Because with your theology, you get to know all about Jesus. But how important it is to get to know Jesus. Let's stand together. Worship team, if you guys would please come. Father, we just want to thank you for this moment, this time, when we could come, when we, Lord, could consider what you have done in our lives. Father, you've taught us many things. We know what to do. But Lord, it is more important that we not just know what to do, but that we know who you are. not just some random deity, but a God that's involved in our very lives every moment of every day. A God who never leaves us or forsakes us. A God who is not afraid to touch us, to talk to us, to lead us, to guide us. Lord, help us not be afraid to be like Mary, but to just believe. In Jesus' name we pray.
Christ alone, my hope is found.
Burn through the fiercest drought.